Well, glory to Heavenly Father. Everybody hear me all right? Hear me good? Okay. Well, it's a blessing to be here with you at the Lord's house this morning. Got a couple announcements here. Beginning next Sunday, the 27th, we'll start having church inside the church house here. And it'll start back at 9:30 in the morning. And according to the conference and district rules, everybody needs to wear a mask on. And we've done got the pews roped off, every other pew. So we'll begin that. And if someone doesn't feel comfortable coming in, it'll also be over the radio, so you could still listen outside. But we'll begin that starting next Sunday, the 27th, inside. So praise the Lord for that. And we look forward to that. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the time you've given us here together to come together and examine your word. And Lord, open our hearts and our minds that we may be drawn closer to you by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Bless each and every one of these people gathered here together, Lord. And we praise you that you promise that you're with us wherever we go. It's your promise when you're with us while we assemble here together at your house. Bless each and every one of these here, Lord, and help all those that can't be here. Lift up the sick around us, Lord. So much sickness, so many with various ailments, Lord, in these mortal bodies. We ask you to lift them up and heal them, for you're the great physician. And bless all those that struggle with their minds, and may they be stable in thy perfect peace that only you can provide. And Lord, help us to be a witness to those around us in this lost and dying world, that we may reflect your light and carry it around and show forth your love and truth to those around us, all around, Lord, and bring the power of your Holy Spirit to bring them to your truth. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles with you, if you open up with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. The Lord tells us, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to the people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to be in unity with you by the power of your Holy Spirit through faith in thy Son Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your word. May it edify us, Lord, and help us to walk in newness of life every day, following you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We come here to verse 1 on this beautiful morning the Lord give us. He says, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. God's wanting us. He's bidding us. He's begging us here in the Word of God. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Each and every one of us have our first and foremost calling as a child of God, as a Christian. It is to be holy, for I am holy, the Bible tells us. It is to be set apart, to be sanctified. God's will for each and every one of God's children's lives is sanctification. The second work of the Holy Spirit, drawing closer to Him every day. We need to be closer to God today than we was yesterday. We need to be drawn closer to Him. God tells us, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. God's telling us, first and foremost, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We have a wonderful calling as God's children, called to be set apart, to be glorified by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a life to glorify our Heavenly Father, who redeemed us from the miry pit, who redeemed us from the pits of hell by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. What a wonderful calling we have. Who the Son has set free, oh, is free indeed, the Bible tells us. We're free to walk in newness of life. He says there, let's lead a life. What's our life leading as we go throughout this week? As we go throughout everywhere else, where are we leading ourselves? Where are we falling? Lead a life that needs to be worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We've been called not because we're worthy, but because Jesus was worthy when he sacrificed on our behalf. So we, too, should be living a life worthy of what God has called. He says here in verse 2, what does that life look like? He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. He says it with humility. We need to first and foremost know we can't walk this life on our own. We can't live for the Lord on our own. We can't do any good thing on our own, because all on our own, it's filthy rags. It's nothing. But with Him, it's God's righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit. We live worthy of the calling to which God has given us with humility, knowing that we need Him. We need a Savior every day. We need the Lord's grace every day. Grace upon grace. We need Him every day, because without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. We need the Lord every day. Humility. Without Him, what are we? We're lost sinners, wretched, bound for hell. But with Him, we're children of God, redeemed and loved and set apart to be holy and be sanctified and to glorify our Father in heaven and to love Him. We love the Word of God because that's what God tells us. We love it because if you love the Word of God, you love who wrote it. And the author is God our Father, the one who loves us the most. We want to draw close to Him and what He loves, know what He loves, know what He hates, know what He is about by the Word and by living with Him in all humility, knowing it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about God and loving our neighbor as ourselves with all humility. Lord, humble ourselves. He says there, in gentleness, be gentle, be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, loving and forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven us, the Bible tells us. We're going to live worthy of the calling. We got to be humble, knowing it's God first, others, then ourselves, and we got to do it with gentleness and loveliness and showing God's love to those around us. The Bible tells us that God is loving. God is kind. He's gentle. Jesus was gentle and lowly down here below as He lived. He lived to show God's love to those around us. We too should be doing this with our calling, God's love and truth. It's not loving to deceive someone. It's not loving to say, well, you're fine in the ways of the world. It's not. We want everybody going to heaven with us someday, just as God does, but He gives everybody the free choice to choose to reject or accept His gift of salvation, to reject or accept His way. We want to, by gentleness and love, show His truth by the Word to those around us. And also it says, with patience. Patience. Sometimes things don't happen right away. We got to trust God. To truly have patience, we need to be trusting the Lord, knowing His ways are higher than our ways. He has plans and thoughts for us to bring us wonderful, wonderful ways closer to Him. He can see the big picture because He's far beyond time. I can't tell tomorrow. Neither can you. We can make plans, but I may not be here. This may be my last day on earth. It may be yours. We never know when God's going to call us home. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but we know who is ruling all time and space, and that's our Heavenly Father. He promised that He will work all things to the good of those that love God, who are called, there it is again, called according to His purpose, according to this worthy calling that we're given. God will work all things for our good, no matter what they are. Even if He wasn't the cause of it, God doesn't cause evil and sin, but He can take what the devil started and turn it for good. Just like old Joseph, when he was sold into slavery in Egypt, the sins of his brothers upon him sold him out. But God took what they did and turned it for good. And Joseph recognized that fact later at the end of Genesis. Praise God, He'd do the same for us. We need to be patient, just as God is patient and long-suffering with us. So too should we be patient and long-suffering with those around us. Now notice here it says, bearing with one another in love, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, the Bible tells us. Bear one another, help one another as we go this travailing life down here below. The Bible talks about this life as a pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage down here. It's temporary. We're to be living for God. Temporary home. That's what this place is. This world's not my home. It's not yours. Our home is the New Jerusalem, the place not made with hands, but God's glorious home, where there's no darkness, nor weeping, nor pining, he says, the New Jerusalem. We need to bear one another in love, helping each other in love, the love of God and love of neighbor. He says there, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets, all the law and the prophets, all of it hangs on those two things. If we can do that, love God with everything we've got and love our neighbor, bearing one another in love. He says there in verse 3, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now notice here he says the unity of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of flesh. Or as this translation says, live in the Spirit. We need to be living our lives in the Spirit of the living God. He says to maintain the unity of the Spirit. If we want to be unified with each other as believers, we all each have to individually be unified with the Holy Spirit. Because we're different people down here below. Everybody's different. And praise God for that. We have differences and God uses that. But all, every one of us need to be alike in the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. He says, maintain the unity. There can be no unity unless we agree. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? God's telling that to the children of Israel. We can't walk with God except we agree with God. We can't walk with Him if we reject what He says in His Word. You can't walk with God. We can't walk with each other unless we're in the unity of the Spirit. He's saying here, this worthy calling that we're called to live, we have to. Be in the unity of the Holy Spirit, he says, in the bond of peace. We can have peace, and it's only through the Holy Spirit to walk this worthy calling. No matter what we're doing here below in this world, we can have unity with God's Holy Spirit by faith in Him. We're saved by faith. We're sanctified by faith, by putting our trust in God. And true faith is a living faith, the Bible tells us in the book of James. Faith without works is dead. If we just say, oh, I love the Lord, and never live for Him, never lift our eyes to heaven, never get our feet busy doing His business, never live for Him, then it's a dead faith. There's nothing there. Faith is active. It's working. It's following God. Because if you have faith, your trust is in something. If we're truly having faith in God, we're trusting in Him. If you trust somebody, you're going to work on it. You're going to act upon it. We're going to live like that trust is real. Having faith in God is not just some bygone thing in our mind. It's an active thing we can do every day. Lord, help us to do that, and we can have this unity of the Spirit. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because they trust in thee, the Bible tells us. Let's have faith in him so we can have this unity in the bond of peace. Because he says here in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the hope of your calling. There's only one body of Christ. There's only one church of the living God. We've got this church. We're here at the congregation Mars Hill. Down the road, there's Englewood Methodist. There's Carlock Methodist. But then it's beyond that. There's our Baptist brothers and sisters and Church of God friends, too. We're all one body of Christ. There may be differences here and there, but if you're saved by the grace of God, you're a member of the one body of Christ, the Church of the Living God. There is one body, just as there is one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope of your calling. There's only one hope. There's only one God. There's only one Holy Spirit. We to be unified with Him by living by the Word of God. Lord, help us to do that. He says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's just one Lord. There's just one faith. In the end of days, we'll all be together in the New Jerusalem. Those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have placed their trust in Him, will be one unified church in that place of all believers, of all God's children. and all God's family in His heavenly home at the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, and new earth. Praise God for that. He says there, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're baptized in His death and risen to walk in newness of life. Praise God, because there's only one God. One God and Father of all. He says, who is above all and through all and in all. He's above all things. We can trust Him with our lives, with every detail of your lives. I love when we're reading the creation story in Genesis 1, where God talks about how He created earth in those days. It amazes me. Just tacked on at the end of one of the verses, it says, and He created the stars also. Like it wasn't just nothing for God to create the millions of stars in the air. Well, for Him, it wasn't. It wasn't hard at all, because He's Almighty God. He created the stars also. It wasn't hard for Him. There's nothing too big or too small to bring to God, our Father. He says, bring all things. Pray without ceasing. Put your faith in Him in all things. Bring every detail of our lives into submission to the Lord. We don't want to hide some corner, because if you hide a corner of your life away from God, not putting your faith in Him in that area, it'll fester and rot away. It'll rot away your soul. Let's have unity with God in our whole being. One God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. He's all over the place. He's omnipresent, omnipotent. He knows all things, sees all things, and He loves us anyways. Let's trust Him. We can trust Him. It's better to put trust in the Lord than place confidence in princes, the Bible tells us. Put our trust in Him, because He's the one that can do it. We can go all throughout this world worrying about this, worrying about that, trying to please certain people, this other people. All we can focus our life on things down here below that doesn't make a difference. But when we put our mind, our heart, everything on, fixed on God, fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, He's the one that can make a difference. He's the one that can change this world. It's not by might nor by strength, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. He says here in verse 7, but each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each one of us is given grace upon grace. He gives us measures of grace according to our need. There's grace for every need, as the hymn tells us. Grace for you, grace for me, grace for all of us. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts, and we're given a measure of grace every day. You want more grace, want more God, seek Him, and He will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Seek and He will find. You will find Him. You'll get more grace upon grace if you give more of yourself to Him and draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to you. It's a promise of the Scripture. It's not an if, but maybe. If you will come to God with your heart and your mind and seek Him earnestly, you will find Him. He will come to you and give you more and more grace upon grace. He gives us all grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. He says, therefore, it is said in verse 8, when He ascended on high, He made captivity itself a captive. The captivity of sin down here below, it's held captive. The devil is bound. He can't harm a child of God. He cannot force you to sin. He cannot steal away your salvation and drag you to hell. When you put your faith in God, you're held in God's palm of His hand. You can forfeit it. You can turn back to perdition or reject God's way and walk away back into the gates of hell. But God promises if you will put your faith in Him, He'll hold you in His hands. He'll guide you. And the devil, he can't steal away anything from your life. You're a child of God. Powerful as He is, He's a powerful being. He'll come knocking on your door all the time as a child of God, wanting to sift you away. The Bible tells us that Jesus says, that Simon Peter, I've prayed for you, that you fail not. Because Satan desired to sift you like wheat. Satan desires to sift us all like wheat. That's his desires, to see you fall back away from God. But God promises if you'll stay to Him, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Stay close to Him. He ascended on high and made captivity itself a captive. He took away the death, hell, and the grave that bound us, that bound our sins, that bound our souls when we were headed straight for the path of hell, and made it captive. And it will be bound and thrown in the fiery pit someday with the devil and the false prophet and all them wicked angels that turned away from God. Brothers and sisters, it's held captive. We can live in newness of life, in freedom. He set us free. Are you set free by God? Have you put your trust in Him? Is the captivity that was holding you down, is it held captive? Or are you still made captive of it? Have you got something bearing you down, holding you back? God will set you free if you'll put your faith in Him. In verse 9 it says, when it says He ascended, what does it mean but that He had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? The Bible says that Jesus ascended up into heaven. He's coming back. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, in like manner he shall return. He ascended out of the Mount of Olives and went straight to heaven. And one of these days he's going to come back and his feet will go right back there on the Mount of Olives where he ascended from. But it says here, he who had also descended in the lower parts of the earth, Jesus came down. And we celebrate that every Christmas when God's own Son, the one who created heaven and earth, came down to live a life for us perfectly without sin and to die an innocent death on the cross for our redemption. It says there, he who descended, it is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. He conquered death, hell, and the grave on the third day when he rose again after being crucified for our sins. He conquered it so we can put our faith in him and live in newness of life. We can walk in this unity with the Holy Spirit by the being worthy of the call because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Because he redeemed us and set us free. When you put your faith in him, you're set free from all that weighed you down, from all sin, and from the weight of a death sentence in hell. He saved us and redeemed us. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens. He rose again on the third day. Later on, rose to the heavens, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He sat down. It is finished, as he said on the cross, so that he might fill all things. In verse 11, the gifts that he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. He gives each one of us different callings. We all have a calling. The first and foremost, as I said, our first calling of every believer ever born again is to be holy, sanctified, set apart, going on to salvation by getting the second work of the Holy Spirit, that sanctifying grace that God gives us and promises us. That's our first and foremost calling. Then we have a secondary calling. And as he says here, the gifts that he gives us, some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We all have different things that we can do. There's things that you can do in this world for God that I can never do. Things your neighbor can do that you could never do. Things I could do. We all have our own exact person. Each one of us has a gift that God has given us that only we can do. So we need to be putting our faith in him, trusting in him. He's given us all a gift and calling. And the Bible tells us that gift and callings of God are without repentance. No matter how many times you fail or fallen back, if you'll get right with the Lord, put your faith in him, he's still got a calling for you to show you the way and use you for his glory. We want to be used for God's glory. We want to be instruments in his hand. He says here in verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We want to equip one another for the work around us, to minister the gospel to those around us, all around us, everywhere we go, whether at work, at home, out at the grocery store. We want to be ministering and showing God's love and his truth, witness for God's gospel all around us, and for building up the body of Christ, God's children, building each other up in the Word of God. In verse 13 he says, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge, he says, the unity, all of us. God wants every one of his children in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We've got to know the Bible and deeply know God even more. We've got to pick it up and read it and study it. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, the Bible tells us. We want to learn. He says the unity of faith. God wants us all in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We all have room to grow, don't we? But we need to be rooted deeply in the Word of God, rooted deeply that we may be equipped for his work. We're going to skip over here, and we'll be right back in Ephesians. We're going to go over here to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13, Christ tells us a parable here. He says here in verse 6 of Luke 13, he says, and he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and found none. We're all planted in God's garden. If you're born again, you're planted. You're not some dead tree. You're planted in God's garden by the seed of the gospel. We're born again. He says here, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. We're in God's vineyard. As Jesus says elsewhere, he's the vine. We are the branches. Bible tells us, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. He came looking for fruit on that tree that he planted, the tree that he put out there. So he said to the gardener, see here, for 3 years, notice the patience of this gardener. He's waited 3 years, and I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Still hadn't found any. He's expecting it, but it's not there. So he says, cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? He replied, Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. God's looking for fruit in our lives. He's looking for the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives to live for Him, follow Him, do His will and His way. He's looking for fruit. Are you bearing fruit for the Lord? Are you putting your faith truly in Him? He's looking for fruit in your life. We don't want to be cut down. He says here, God's will for us. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith. That's all of us, every child of God. Unity of the faith, unity with one another, but most of all, unity with God and the knowledge of the Son of God. We need to know Him deeply. Know Him. We don't want to be an acquaintance with Jesus. We want to be Him. He's our closest, dearest friend, the one that loves us the most. And we can talk with Him every day. Isn't that a blessing? There's people around here you can talk to sometimes, and sometimes they're busy and they just can't talk with you. That's life. But with Jesus, He's never too busy to call on. He's never too busy to teach you what His Word says. He's never too busy. Almighty God, ruling heavens and earth, He's always got time for the smallest detail of our lives. He tells us to bring the smallest and the greatest because it's all small to Him. He's God Almighty. Everything in our life is small to Him because He's so big. Bring it all to God, everything, so that we can have the knowledge of the Son of God and to maturity. God wants us to draw closer to Him, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior. He wants us to be mature by faith, mature in the Spirit. Moving on, like the Bible talks about, He tells us elsewhere in the Word that they were supposed to be growing in grace and they hadn't yet. They're supposed to be getting on to the meat and potatoes of faith, learning more about the Bible and what God's trying to teach them, but they're still needing the milk like babies. Little babies, they got to have the milk first before they can't eat a big old roast beef sandwich. They have to start out with the milk, and as they grow into greater foods. Just as we in our spiritual walk, the Bible teaches us, we have to grow. We start out when we're first saved and right with God with the milk of the Word, the sincere milk. And we're supposed to desire it as babes, newborn babes desire milk, want more and more and more so we can grow and grow and grow. We want more of the Word of God, more of God, more of His ways. Then when we move on to the greater things, more and more understanding of the Word of God, more and more understanding and trust in God. As we grow in grace and knowledge of God, we grow in trust to Him because you know something about somebody. You know something about the Lord, you're going to trust Him more because you know about His ways and that He's worthy of our trust. We read about the saints of old, as the Bible tells us. The great cloud of witnesses, Hebrew tells us, and we can glean off of their lives and see how they trusted God and how they didn't trust God. And we can learn to trust God more fully. We need to be growing in maturity, growing up in God, growing up in His ways. He says to the measure of the full stature of Christ, the full stature, growing in grace, greater trust in Him. Learning to talk as a child, you know, they learn to talk, they learn to grow, they learn to more understanding. So we need to have more understanding with God Almighty in His way. He wants us to grow in grace. He's given us everything. He's given us the Holy Spirit to convict and guide us and show us the way. He's given us the Word of God to teach us. He's given us the Church of the Living God to come together, examine the Word together, and help one another, forbear one another. We need to be growing. He says there in verse 14, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery. There's a lot of teaching out there that's not according to the Word of God. There's a lot of weird things people teach about the Bible. So we got to stay close to the Word and His way so we're not blown about by every wind of doctrine back and forth, because God wants us to be living in our highest calling according to the Word of God, not being tossed around by people's trickery, it says, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. We don't want to be deceived. Every time Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did He say? He quoted Scripture back. The devil twisted the Scriptures even. He took out of Psalms and twisted them for His own liking. But every time, Jesus replied back, it is written. He quoted each time. Each one of His quotes was from the book of Deuteronomy, a book we don't hear from very often. We need to study the whole Word of God. Listen to the whole Word of God. The Bible tells us that every word from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for understanding God. He says there, don't be blown about with every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. In verse 15, we need, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Look back on your week. Today, are you closer to God than you were last Sunday? How about the Sunday before? Are you growing? You should be. we should all be closer to God today than we was yesterday. Because you're either going toward God or backing off. An old pond, if there's no new water coming into it, what's it do? It gets stagnant and it gets nasty and eventually it stinks. And it's nothing can live in it after a long time. We don't need our pond of our life stagnant. We need the living waters every day. Revelation tells us we can taste of the living waters of the Holy Spirit of God every day, freely. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden. We can come to God every day by the word, by prayer, by fasting, by trusting in him every day. The works of mercy, the works of piety that Wesley taught us about. We need to be doing God's ways, listening to his ways. They're higher than our ways. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We got to grow into him. In verse 16 it says, "For from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love." I'm a lot better off if both my feet's well and my hands than if just one hand. We're the body of Christ, the whole body. We want each one of us to be healthy, living for him, following him. He says there, "It is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself in love." If we'll live for God and get properly in our faith with him, then it'll help the whole body of Christ as a whole. It starts individually. Are we going to live for God? Purpose in your heart. Daniel, it says, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's portion of the wine and all the other things and the pagan idolatries. He purposed in his heart. He was probably about 15 years old, but praise God, he purposed. There's no age limit on purpose in your heart and God. You can do it from a child to the oldest among us. We can all purpose in our heart that we will not defile ourselves, that we will follow the Lord. We will do God's will. We got to choose to do it. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for each one of us, we shall serve the Lord. Let's put our faith in him. As he says here in verse 17, "Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds." Futility, it's worthlessness. Or you could say pagans instead of Gentiles. Some translations say that. It's the same difference. Unbelievers don't know the ways of God, don't know the Lord as Savior. He's telling us here, back here in verse 1, "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called." We need to be living our lives this worthy calling. He says here, and he's insisting on from the Lord, he's insisting on us that we must no longer live as lost people. There needs to be a difference in our life every day. We must no longer live. We need to be close to God every day. The more we get closer to God's light, the more darkness we can get out of us in the futility of their minds. Our minds are something that's very powerful. We need to be careful. If we're going to fix our minds on Jesus and his calling and his ways to grow closer to God and spiritual maturity, we got to be careful what we allow in these minds, what we look at, what we're popping in our living room on our TV, what we're listening to on the radio, what we're thinking about every day. What you're thinking about, setting your mind on, you'll end up speaking it and doing it. We need to be careful, not in the futility, the worthlessness of the mind. It says there, sadly, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. What a sad thing to be alienated from God. No fellowship with God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They didn't care to learn about God. They didn't care about knowing God. They're ignorant of God out of self-ignorance and hardness of heart. They harden their heart. In verse 19, they have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness. That's just perversion. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. What a sad way to live a life. That's going rampant around us, isn't it? It always has, but it, praise God, it won't always. In the end of days, there'll be no more sin because we'll be in the New Jerusalem. Verse 20, it says, "That is not the way you learn Christ." That's not how we learn God. We didn't learn God that grace is just something to be used as a means of sin. So often people say, "I can sin all I want because God will forgive me all I want." That's not how it works at all. God is forgiving and gracious and loving. He'll always forgive you if you'll come to him. But a heart like that is not seeking repentance and forgiveness, because to repent of sin is to turn from it toward God, not talking to God while you're doing it and saying it'll be all right. God will never wink at sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He'll never say it's okay and look past it. Oh, sin had to be atoned for, and it was atoned for on the cross of Jesus Christ. That way we can come to him and repent with earnest hearts. That's not the way we learn Christ to live less wicked lives. We learn to follow God in faith in the Holy Spirit. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. That's what we learned of by the Bible in verse 22. And you were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust. We're to put it off, put it away, he says here, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Be renewed in our minds by the Spirit, living God. So we can walk this worthy calling. We're called to holiness, called to truth. You were taught to put away your former life. It's active putting away. We got to put it away and trust in the Lord. Put away your old self, because it's corrupt. It's deluded by its lust. It's corruptible. That's why our bodies are corruptible. That's why one of these days, this thing's going to die and they're going to lay it in the dirt somewhere. The soul and spirit depart to be with God. And then at the end, the resurrection. There's a new heaven, new earth, and we're given new bodies. The old corruption is gone. He says it's diluted by its lust. Put it away, he says. Get it gone. In verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Let's renew ourselves. Renewing, notice here, is an active thing. It's not past tense. It's saying here, to be renewed. Active thing. We need to be renewed every day. Every day being renewed. Redeemed every day. Redeeming the time, the Bible says, for the days are evil. He says there, in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. The Bible tells us here, we put off the old self and put on the new. Why is that? To clothe yourselves with the new self. We were not only sinners by nature because of original sin, because of the fall, but we were also sinners by choice. We chose to sin. We chose to reject God. But praise God, he gave us that prevenient grace. He gave us that grace to draw us and allow us to choose him. Allow us to accept his call and accept the gift of salvation. Have you accepted that gift? It's freely given to all those who will simply ask. All those who will simply come to him and repent and ask. Trust in him. And then he says here, we're renewed in the spirit of our minds in verse 24, and to clothe yourselves with the new selves. We're given a new self. The old ways are passed away in our lives. We're given a new. Don't go back to the old ways. Just like in the children of Israel, they kept wanting to go back to Egypt land. Egypt's a picture of our former selves when we're in the bondage of sin, when we're enslaved to sin. They were living terrible lives in Egypt. And when God delivered them, they're going out there. And so often, what'd they say? Oh, wasn't it nice back in Egypt land? The devil will tell you that. He'll say, wasn't it nice back there before you had to put up with all this when you were saved? Brothers and sisters, it's never worth it. The devil will give you the rosiest colored glasses to look at your past. But if we look at it with the Word of God, he says here, that's not what we learned from Christ, and it's not the truth, because that way was corruption. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. He says here, and to clothe yourselves with the new selves. Every day, let's clothe ourselves with the new self. Created. Notice here, we're created, we're born again, according to the likeness of God. We're not the likeness of sinful flesh anymore, and we're redeemed. We're brought to God in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Let's clothe ourselves with this new self, because that right there is this holy calling that God's given us. And he promises here in this word that he will give us the grace for every need. He'll give us that grace. The Bible promises us. Right here, we just read it. God will give you that grace upon grace, grace for every need. Let's trust him. Let's follow him, because that's what he wants for us, to clothe ourselves with the new self, which is created according to the likeness of God. We're redeemed. We're set apart. We're to be holy, set apart people for him, clothed with the new self, according to the likeness of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? The Bible tells us that we're created in his image, and we're recreated in his likeness, to be like him. That's why we're called Christians, isn't it? Christian means to be like Christ. We truly are when we're born again, and when we're being sanctified. We are like him in renewing our nature from the pains of sin, and even from the pains of our fallen nature, in true righteousness and holiness. Not a lie, not something fake, not something unattainable, but in true righteousness and holiness, the Bible tells us. It's the truth. And what a blessing it is that God has given us this holy calling, this wonderful calling. Let's not take this lightly, because God's not just asking us. Like the King James says, he beseeches us. He's telling us to. He wants us to. And he's not telling us something to do alone. He's given us this commandment out of love for us. Because God knows a lot more than we do. If we know something, it's because God told us truly. If we truly know something, We can think we know a lot of things, but we don't without God, without His Word. That's the only solid thing we've got. There's a lot of deceptions down here below. Oh, science, it'll change. They'll tell you this, they'll tell you that. There's some truth there, but they change a lot of things a lot of times, their understanding, as they understand different things in nature. But what God says right here, it was solid when it was written, as it is today. So we can trust Him, to lean on Him, to get closer to Him. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you. First off, have you received Jesus Christ as Savior? It's a gift open to all people everywhere. Any person ever born can receive Jesus by faith. Second part, if you have, glory to God. Praise the Lord. But if you have, we got this calling that He was talking about here. He's telling us to live our lives worthy of the calling that we've received. Take a look at your life right now. Are you leaning on God to live a life worthy of this calling? Or are you going back, as He warned us, to the old self, the old ways, in wickedness and sin, and drawing back away? We're either going closer to God or we're going away. There's no in between. There's no standing there. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. So take a moment and talk to Heavenly Father. And come to His throne of grace, who's open for grace for every need, as He just promised here to live this calling. Thank you, Father, for Your Word and Your Holy Spirit, that we can live in unity with You and one another by the Holy Spirit. Help us to do that, Lord, and to draw closer and closer to You every day by the living Word of God. Lord, we thank You so much that You love us enough not only to save us, Lord, but to sanctify us. Not only to redeem us, but to guide us. Help us to live by that grace every day that You promised. Bless each and every one of these dear children of Yours that's gathered here together. Help us to live in that unity by Your Holy Spirit. And to search us, O God, know our hearts every day, and try us and know our thoughts, and see if there ever be any wicked way in us. And lead us in Thy way everlasting forevermore. Keep us safe and in Thy will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a blessing it's been to be with you here. And everybody will be receiving a letter that'll detail this week coming for next Sunday when we come back inside the church house. But it's pretty straightforward. Just if you're coming in, everybody needs to have a mask. And we'll have plenty here in case you don't have one. And we'll be looking forward to it. And we thank you all. I've got to get with everybody for we'll be having the district conference today, and I've got with everybody that's voting on that. And for everybody else, we'll have a printout if you'd like the details of that. It's mainly just routine stuff for the district that's going on. And what a blessing it's been to be here with you today. And I mean, Ashley, thank every one of you again for the gifts you've given us yesterday. What a blessing. And let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.